This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
All right, y'all, before we get into this show, I don't know if you guys have heard, but history's critically acclaimed series Viking is premiering with a 2-hour season Wednesday, November 29th at 9 p.m. Season 5 is about to be crazy. We've got revenges of father's death. We've got people traveling across the Mediterranean Sea. There's gods. The season's full of startling alliances and unbelievable betrayals as the Vikings fight to rule the world. Jonathan Rhys Meyers is joining the cast, which is going to be awesome. What else do we got going on? It's a critically acclaimed series from the creator, Michael Hurst. He is known for The Tudors, which that show is so good. So Who Will Rise in Return of History's hit drama series Vikings premiering on November 29th. You're going to have to tune in to find out.
It's superheroes versus Nazis because it's 2017 and that's a real thing. We're talking about part 3 of the DC TV Universe crossover, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I'm so mad you've never heard of this song.
I've never heard this song before in my life.
It sounds like you're gonna punch Nazis.
Yes, we're in the fighting mood right now because
absolutely,
we're taking down Nazis tonight. All
2017.
2017. Nazis are real. And so we had to get into the right spirit to talk about this episode. Hello everyone, I'm Tiana Hobson. Thank you for joining us today on the Flash After Show for a very special edition. It's Crisis on Earth X, Part 3. Full disclosure, we are only talking about Part 3 of this crossover tonight. We are not going into Part 4 because most of us haven't watched it yet. Did anyone watch it?
No.
I'm looking at you. Yeah, Yeah, one of us watched it, the other ones have not. So this is a spoiler-free zone for the moment. And joining me tonight, as always, I have my three lovely co-hosts.
What's up, guys? I'm Drew Jones. You can follow me on all the things at OKDrewJ.
Hey, guys, I'm Carolina Benetti, and you can find me on Instagram at LenaBean113 and on Twitter at Carolina Benetti.
Hey, y'all, this is Chauncey K. Robinson, and you can find me on Twitter at Miss Chauncey KR.
Chauncey cheated. It's all good, though. No, I'm glad that you watched it.
No, I also watched it.
Yeah, oh,
it.
You watched it, too. Okay, so it's just our... It's just
so
our,
just we...
Just one half of the room has not seen the last part.
I mean,
of
I needed answers. Like, that was too much of a cliffhanger.
It is a huge cliffhanger, so excuse me if I rush.
I feel type of way.
Yes, I feel all the ways.
That's why I was so quiet when you guys were like, who's that? I was like...
Right. I already know this.
Right.
Okay, so before we get into part 3, we do have to mention some moments that happened in the first part. Two parts leading up to this crossover are up to this particular part. Is your volume on? Okay, thanks. I was like, am I hearing an echo? It's all good. So, I mean, of course we have to talk about...
Yeah.
Okay,
get it
go
out.
For it.
Get it out.
Say the devil
right,
word.
Yo, we got Wally. We got him for like 5 seconds. He did his little groove. Bullet. That sounded mad Jamaican of me. Bullet. Anyway, we got him for a second, and then they were like, go take care of your dad, Wally. And then he left, and that was it.
Because all they do is sideline Wally
but
when they're in
need.
But I felt
the same way about Cisco. A piece of wood? Yeah. Come on.
Piece of wood.
And dude's out for the count. They just couldn't afford to pay him. That's what was going on.
Wait, really important question. How big was the wood?
It was about this big.
So probably like this wide.
Like a foot long? Like a subway foot long?
It just kind of bounced off of his head.
Let's be fair.
Cisco has a thick head.
He got all that hair.
I don't believe that he's like starting a coma.
He was doing the darn thing as vibe too. And he was like, let's do it. He was like,
oh my God. Like, it was so cool when he vibed Oliver Queen as Green Arrow with like the arrow mid. I was like, whoo, go vibe.
I will admit that with the 2x4 or whatever it was, this huge brick of a piece of wood like that hit him was hit by Supergirl when she landed, so maybe it was that, like the super speed
fair.
Supergirl hitting it, yeah, right, Kara.
Well,
thanks.
This is what happens when everyone's fighting. Sometimes, you know, those stray friendly fires, stray bullets happen, and you know, people on your own team end up hurt. Mm-hmm. But it's sad, but it's okay. He is surviving.
Wally was awesome, though.
Drew, I need you to
Ralph
hear
could
this.
Never. No, like Wally had the whole. He was channeling like Michael Jackson during that when he was catching the bullets. He spun. It was.
He took a much needed mental break and came back better and ready to fight.
And then he was sent off, benched.
Again.
Because you love Wally so much, I have to bring up what somebody in the chat said.
Oh, Lord.
Mr. Ooh said, Wally is like Kenny from South Park.
Wally is like Kenny from South Park. Thank you.
That is how they treat him.
Justice for Wally.
I mean, but at least
he always comes back, though, just like Kenny.
He's back right now, like, so at least we know he's in their lives for
the
time he's back from his sabbatical. True. So that means that there will be more of him moving forward. Other wedding day fun facts. Well, you guys had to explain this to me because I was like, why is this waitress like all excited gushing over
like,
Barry? Who let this wedding crasher in?
Random scene.
And all I could think
why
was,
is she so thirsty? Is that what you were thinking?
And I just kept thinking, okay, clearly she knows that he's the Flash and maybe she's a huge Flash fan. And she's figured it out. I'm like, I know your secret.
Barry's just like mad down with the brown, just attracts everyone. I mean, he's like, who is this?
Getting down in Swirl Town. I'm here for it.
No, you saw like so much like puppy like admiration. You could just tell. You could tell.
Yeah, she had certain mannerisms.
Also, she looked so much like
casting. That was perfect casting.
Sorry, rewind for a second. For anyone who does not know what we are hinting at here.
Yes.
The hint here is that the girl at the wedding is one of the Tornado Twins.
Yes. Dawn.
Dawn.
Or they're sending us for a huge loop because of all of the Earth crossovers, and it's XS who is he's her ancestor. She's like his great-great-great-granddaughter, and XS is part of the Legion of Superheroes. They could be jerking our chain to do that to us and just get us all worked out. Like, look exactly alike. This is it. And she's just like, that's my great-great-granddaddy, and I've been immortalizing you forever. Psych, fans. It's not Dawn.
I mean, either way, it would be awesome. Yeah. It solidifies the fact that they're going with the idea. Not that we had a doubt
about
it. That they're going to do the West Allen, legacy of this wonderful family that they are.
Yeah.
So.
And as Drew pointed out before we started, there was the hint of the comment that Iris was glowing and not blushing because brides blush and pregnant people glow.
I feel like the Flash writers and... Arrow writers. I feel like they never just like randomly throw lines in there. I feel like they're always very careful about their wording. So I don't know. We'll see. But I'm just saying.
Throughout the crossover, this is a small bone I picked up on. So this whole season, there have been all these little jokes with like the whole spider senses, and they brought up the Spider-Man thing again. But that's Marvel. So you know what I've realized is I think that the Marvel Universe exists in this world as a comic book.
Oh.
And that's why they keep alluding to it, because I think it's real in the sense that it is a fantasy-driven comic book series that they all read.
Yeah, because I've been wondering with all the drop a lot of Marvel things across all their shows. I was trying to figure it out. And I just kept thinking, well, this is DC. Why would they be plugging Marvel stuff?
Well, when Firestorm, when they were talking about breaking up and he was getting upset and he was like, making an allusion to like, oh, like a half-wit Spider-Man situation. Yeah. I was like, I think that this is a comic book for them, like, and a movie franchise.
Well, with the show, they're always making pop culture references. Oh, yeah, so it would make sense that that the Marvel universe would be something of a myth or, you know, the comic book or some type of fictional thing that they read as opposed to, because how else would they know what Spider-Man and all of them do not call on them during this whole episode? Like, no one decided to call Spider-Man as much as that. There is no Spider-Man, I would assume.
No, it's fiction, and that's why he was so, like, bent out of shape. Like, you basically made me a cheap Spider-Man that sticks to walls.
Yeah. Cool. But I would say, like, just to what Drew was saying about the possibility of Iris being pregnant, I think I would love that. I just think that they may, because of the fact that we finally got the wedding, there may be a wait for that a bit longer. Mm-hmm. And most likely, if Iris did get pregnant immediately, I'm afraid, I do not want her to give birth during another crossover. I just don't want any of that happening. I want to focus on the Flash during a crossover.
Let these people have something.
You know what? We waited so long for West Allen. Can we just enjoy West Allen? I love them as a couple, and I want to see them fully fleshed out. We've already dealt with so many issues this season since he had to go into the Speed Force and come back, and then there was that whole situation going on. So I want to see them actually be a couple.
Yeah, we don't really get to see them just like be cute and happy together.
So hopefully, so, you know, that
let's just like press pause on the bebé.
I agree. I think we do need to pause on the baby for now, but I do like that they keep giving us dropping these little hints for us to see. Because earlier this season, there was another hint when he came out of the Force and was saying all those random words and stuff. There was a baby name drop in there, too. So they keep alluding to it. So we know it's coming, but we don't need it this season.
No.
We got enough.
But maybe all the baby stuff is because that girl is their kid, and maybe we're not going to get a pregnancy, but we're going to have them deal with their daughter.
Yeah, that definitely seems plausible for sure to me.
Havoc 6280 says, I think it was excess because Legion is going to be on Supergirl soon, and Legion is also part of the superhero Legion.
Interesting.
They've been drawing a lot from the Golden Age comics, from the Thinker that we've been seeing to a lot of the superheroes that were introduced in this episode, which I'll wait till we get to that, but lots of Golden Age dawn of DC characters that we've been seeing.
Yes, I love it. All right, I think we should get into tonight's part three of the crossover. So we're gonna start with talking about what's going on Earth X, because that's where a big chunk of our heroes are imprisoned with the Nazis in the camps, and there's bad things happening.
It's made me real sad.
It's sad because this could have been the fate of the world at one point.
Yeah.
You know, like, this could have happened if things had gone a different way. So it's, and I saw a lot of people talking about how they were angry about them using Nazis and stuff online, but I feel this is making us uncomfortable because it could be true and because of the state of the world right now. And sometimes it's good to be put in an uncomfortable situation. We sugarcoat things way too much.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's okay because I felt uncomfortable watching the first 2 hours of this crossover.
For sure.
With there being Nazis. And then we started shooting them. I was like, yeah, we're shooting Nazis.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah. I can definitely understand how it could be triggering for some people, given, you know, people's family history and things of that nature, the idea of, you know, watching a concentration camp. But I think also that's one of the great things about comic books, in the sense that all throughout, like what we were just saying about the Golden Era, the Silver Age, and all of that, is that it was reflective. A lot of them were reflective about social issues that were going on during that time. Wonder Woman came about, you know, because of feminism and fighting against, you know, different
Nazis.
Yeah, different Nazis. Things of that nature. So this is, it's not far and apart. It's very much within the history and the legacy of what DC and Marvel have done when it mm-hmm. comes to reflecting these sort of issues. So I don't think it was far and far. I can get where people were coming from, but I definitely don't think this was done in poor taste.
If you want us to stop talking about Nazis, make sure Nazis don't exist anymore.
On a lighter note, I thought it was really cool that the sky was red because that's an Easter egg from the comics. Mm-hmm. Anytime the sky is red, it, like, indicates a problem in the multiverse. And it's usually when a crossover happens. And I saw them incorporate it both in the beginning and in this episode, too, which I thought was really cool.
I like that fact there.
I like that little tidbit.
Yeah. My question, did anyone catch what Quentin Lance's name was on this earth?
No.
Did they ever use a name for him?
I didn't catch it.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't just me before I just start calling him Quentin and everyone goes crazy on me for me. That's not Quentin. I'll call him Evil Quentin.
I mean, but we have the entire chat there. So if you guys know if Quentin Lance had a different name on Earth X, please tell us.
Until then, he's known as Bad Quentin, which he shows up finally. You know, we hadn't seen him yet. And he's the leader. He's, like, running the camp, and it's really awkward because Sarah's
her
there.
Lance.
Oh, her. I can't.
Her Lance. Kind of growl at yourself.
Her Lance. So it's interesting the conversation that he has with Sarah, you know, being that he has a daughter who looks just like her.
Yeah.
And this is just one of those ways of the whole multiple Earth things that is really hard for me to remember that everyone has the same version of everyone and mm-hmm. the fact that he
except Barry apparently.
Yeah, except Barry. He never well yeah.
There's other
but
Barry.
I was
yeah.
happy
we just didn't see him in
yeah,
this
yeah
we didn't see him on Earth X.
I was really happy that they reintroduced Thawne because he's such a dynamic rival and mm-hmm. supervillain against Barry. And it was kind of cool to get to see both of the Harrison Wells simultaneously. Well, I say Harrison Well with quotation marks because we know
because
it's Eobard Thawne. But he's wearing Harrison's face. So it's just easier to say Tom is Harrison twice.
It's easier to say Harry than Eobard.
Yeah, that's just a weird name.
And there's definitely something to be said about what you were saying regarding meeting people's doppelgangers throughout. Mm-hmm. Because there's this idea, like we're saying, like the fact that the Nazis took over in this earth. How quickly, depending on a shift in a moment, how someone's life could go in a completely different direction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we saw with some of these characters, where even they faced off of their former best friends, like Oliver and his former best friend, and, you know, Sarah and her, you know, guy who looked like her father type thing. And it's like, wow, you know, where all of this could have gone. And, like, obviously, that Sarah and this Earth X is dead because she was also clearly bisexual mm-hmm. as well. So,
and
like, untrained.
He did that.
And he was the one that
killed his own daughter. So that's how you know he's
has
terrible. No heart and isn't afraid to do anything to these people who he does not even know. We also met Ray, who at the beginning is just the guy with the pink triangle. Who says that he's in there because he loved the wrong person.
This was awesome, though, because that's my boy from Being Human.
Yes.
The show
Being Human. I knew I recognized him.
Russell Tovey. Oh, my gosh. And he's such an LGBTQ advocate as well with, you know, him and being an actor and everything and doing that. The question of representation. Also to still be playing the same character and then to be there. When he popped up, I was like, what?
Yeah. And when he popped up, I didn't place him right away, but I knew he was going to be around because, you know, that's a face that you've seen in other
stuff.
He's
not just a walker by.
Like, he's not a random extra.
Significant.
This is a significant, and it turns out,
well,
you know,
yeah,
we
like,
see Snart come into the play here.
Well, the second you see them all get, like, segregated away from the rest of the group, but the guy with the pinstripe was still there, I was like, oh, he's definitely going to be somebody.
Yeah.
Which I was also excited about because the Ray is, like, one of the most underused superheroes ever. He first appeared in the 40s. And then he didn't appear in a comic again until 1992.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And even since then, he's only been in, like, a spattering of comics, like, 2011 and so on and so forth. So I hope that we see more of him throughout the DCEU on TV.
Me too. And as someone who has not seen how this ends up concluding. Mm-hmm. I really hope that he ends up on our Earth to play around with our gang a little bit, yeah. since, you know.
Did y'all want to put Wally away?
Everyone yeah. has
another one, it seems. But, I mean, he probably won't end up on The Flash itself. Maybe it'll be one of the other shows. But he's yeah. actually from Earth 1
yeah.
as well. He originated from it. So, I mean, that gives him even more connection to stay
yes.
if that's what happened.
And y'all, I just have to talk about this because it was my everything. As soon as he said that he loved the wrong person, I was like, okay, yes, another character that, you know, LGBTQ character, awesome, okay. And then I see Snart show up and I was like, please let this be the person that he fell in love with. Please let it be. And it was. And it was everything.
We were like, your reaction, you guys, you haven't watched TV until you watch TV with Drew, because her reactions are the best.
I'm a very passionate person.
That she
you
is.
You make the funniest faces.
I was hyped. Yeah, but I loved that we got, you know, we're seeing good people be bad on Earth-X, and we're seeing the people who are quote-unquote bad on our Earth, even though he's had a change of heart, mm-hmm. be good here. And Snart being on the bright side of things
yeah.
was really fun. And he's still playing his same character, but also making fun of the person that what he did, is on Earth yeah. 1.
What did he say that had us crying when he first came out? He was like, I hate fire, or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, so, that was it. He was like, I hate fire.
But it was the way he said it. I was like, you're so weird. But I like
it. Weird, but awesome. And he takes them to, because, you know, there's this whole revolt against the Nazis, and it's run by Wynn. A.K.A. General Schultz.
I was like, come on, Schultz? Wynn.
Something like that. My accents are bad.
Yeah. He looked all...
It's fine.
But it's Wynn. And Wynn's all, like, hard ass. Yeah. No, we have to stick to the plan. I'm blowing up things, and this is our moment to get past this. We don't have friends. It just makes you weaker.
What's a friend? I don't know.
So it was really interesting to see, you know, that people have been fighting against them in, like, these secret societies for all these years, and mm-hmm. they go in to talk about all the people that they've lost and how many generations of families have been fighting this war.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, even though the Nazis are winning, this fighting's still there. So there's still people there who have the hope to change the outcome of this war. That's yeah. like a 100-year war at this point or something.
It was really great, just the history there. I mean, I was mm-hmm. kind of curious just to see if we did do, like, how comics tend to do those what-ifs or a whole nother plot line sort mm-hmm. of thing, if we just followed, like, an episode or two just on Earth-X and different characters in that time being able to kind of come to the forefront and seeing those backstories, like you were saying, about... Yeah. who was fighting, people's grandfathers and things like that. And also, they pointed us out in the chat that Ray is actually getting a CW Seed show.
Oh, I read about Ooh. That. Crap.
So that's where he's going to get his own show on the Seed. So
that's even awesome. Better that they intro'd
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Snaps for
so
Ray.
Now maybe
I wonder I where his show's going to take it. Place, though. If it's going to be on Earth 1 or if we're going to actually see Earth X. With him. Mm-hmm. That might be interesting.
I would like to see how he ended up on Earth-X because, mm-hmm. unless it's explained later, you know, we know that there's one portal in and out of this place, but it's guarded heavily by the Nazis. Mm-hmm. So, at what point did he make his way over here?
Yeah,
and how? And did he just walk by the Nazis?
Well, it sounds like he came through this contraption that they've created,
and I guess
that's why he knew about it.
Yeah, and my question also was, is Snart from Earth X, the one we saw, or
yeah.
the one he
yeah.
was actually originated
from Earth X.
So our Snart is somewhere
is not
in
there.
Time
yeah.
somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's on the Legends SOS ship right now that Felicity sent that distress signal to.
Yeah, but I'm like, I don't know, I'm interested in all the. I guess, never mind, it's not going to affect us. I was going to say, because I remember he wrote that whole letter saying he was leaving Legends. So
that's what I was saying.
Curious.
That's why I thought he was going to be
on.
Said
he was leaving
this, I think this is his
DC
final
universe. That's why I'm saying.
He said he was wrapping out his final, like, DC show.
Which y'all need to stop doing.
Which
is
maybe.
Taking people I care about off these shows.
Sounded like he
but it
took
sounds
himself
like it's
out.
Him. Yeah.
Respect, honestly.
He took himself out.
I feel you.
One,
but
so.
Also,
but
like.
Wentworth Miller does a lot of films. He's got Prison Break came on last year. I can't imagine how busy he must
yeah.
have been doing the reprisal of Prison Break and this. He probably woke up one day and was like, I'm going to literally work myself to death.
You know what he said?
I mean,
he
fair.
Woke up and he was like, I'm tired, but you know what I'm going to do before I leave the Flash and the DC Universe? I'm going to kiss a boy and like it. Yeah! And that's all that I needed from him.
He kissed a boy.
And he liked it. So we know that the team has to get to this pot, this gateway to get back through. And so they go through their whole elaborate plan of getting Oliver to be disguised.
Which, when they're doing the plan, I was dying. And I even said it out loud. They're all sitting there. They've got everything laid out. I'll go check. Choom! I thought it was very choom. Evan comes. And I was like, that's so annoying. I love him, but that's so annoying. Let people at least finish their thought, Barry, man.
And I love...
And Oliver's face, too. He was like...
Yeah, because Oliver is the best in these crossovers when he has to deal with Barry. Because
really
even
is.
In the one of the earlier episodes when him and when Barry and Supergirl fly that off really funny. Fast, and he gets there, hey, guys, no super speed. Remember that. Like, yes, Oliver, always rooting somewhere.
I feel like times with that interaction, they tend to play it like kind of how Batman tends to be around Superman in other comics, where it's like Batman's the one without the powers, but he's very like agile. He knows how to get stuff done, and they do the same thing with Oliver when it comes to DC TV, I think. So that was pretty cool that they were kind of translating that over. It was nice to watch everyone interact in this whole crossover. That was one of the highlights.
That made me want to
My favorite
more,
interaction is actually, and I've told you this before, is Supergirl and the Flash. I love Barry and Kara's relationship, and I wish that in the whole like crazy I'm blanking, the time paradox and everything that he created, that her Earth now existed, like that she was now part of their actual Earth. Because I'd like to see her more with him.
I would like to see her come over more.
That's they just have such a happy disposition, and I like that they both have equal superpowers. Well, I mean, she's stronger, but, you know, they're great. They're great together.
Yeah. And speaking of...
She needs some super friends.
Kara, you know, Alex is stuck over here with them, and, you know, and with her new...
Another LGBTQ.
Yeah.
I support that message.
I feel like everyone was very supportive of Sarah and Alex. Or, you know,
I liked it.
Sax, Alara, I don't know. We can come up with a ship name for them.
The ship name on Twitter is Agent Canary.
Agent Canary.
I mean, you know, I would like to see more of that. And I like that Alex got to play around this time. You know, she got to come over and meet everyone. And then it's really nice to see her trying to reason with Wynn's character over here by trying to pull at his heartstrings of, you know, we're family. Kara's your best friend.
Kara's
your besties.
I always feel like those, like, when they try to be, like, on my Earth, your sense, I always feel like that's kind of weird because, like, I don't know. I can't imagine if someone, like, me came over and was like, listen, you're friends with so-and-so. And I'm like, I don't know this person.
When you try to tell me what I should and shouldn't be, I'm going to do the opposite. So you can't come at me like, look, we're best friends. We're like family. And we're like, I don't know you. Get away from me.
It doesn't really land. I mean, it's good. It's great. It's a great acting scene for the other character to be appealing to them in a monologue. But it's sort of like you're talking to someone who does not have the same sort of
I don't
like
know
history
your sister
at all.
Yeah.
So
your sister on my Earth is literally married to the fear.
Yeah,
and trying to kill everyone in our world. So
can't relate.
I cannot relate
That's
having
over.
Empathy
canceled.
Towards her at all. Sorry, delete. But, I mean, I like also that Alex and Sarah, you know, Sarah opens up to her about losing her sister and just being, we're gonna get to her, we're gonna save her, I promise you. And just seeing, and Sarah telling her, I don't know anything about you, but if you love this Maggie person, trust your instincts. Which, I love Alex and Maggie together, but also, there was a reason you guys didn't work out, and unless you are changing your mind, like, you can't just go running back because there's one thing that happened wrong. I mean, you're living in a Nazi
I want to see what Agent Canary goes.
So while all of this was happening, I felt, again, like, super Marvel vibes because it was very X-Men Days of Futures Past, and I wrote that down to myself when they were trying to go back and forth to fix what had happened. Very much the vibes, like the way it was broken up and how they were going about the plan.
But it was better because they didn't screw everything up in terms of timeline.
Well, Barry already covered that.
Shade. Someone buy X-Men from, you know.
We can get that tea.
Okay, well.
Well, I felt like that was a hidden Easter egg. You know, we got a couple more superheroes in there that we could talk about, like the missing Martian.
Yeah,
Martian Manhunter. I miss him.
Characters missing, you know, in terms of the crossover that could have been showed a bit more.
Coolest powers. I'm just sad that they're not using him. I get it. They only have so much money, but dang.
I guess now I have to look out.
I'm only talking about this episode. You made me promise not to do any spoilers.
I don't know what to believe.
But, I mean, someone that we did get to see was the Red Tornado, and that was a really cool scene there because, you know, again, not being one who's aware of comics and what to expect, you know, when they're like, oh, yeah, he's sending the weapon, it's the Red Tornado, I'm like, oh, that's gonna be pretty, like, it's gonna be red and spitty.
No.
It's like Dorothy going to Oz. Nice.
Is that what you thought for real?
I really thought, like, oh, they're sending a tornado, that's okay, Mother Nature, do your course.
No.
No, but it's a super awesome robot.
So, Red Tornado is actually, like, super cool looking in the comics. His whole face is red, and he's got, like, the bolt down, like, the middle, and it goes, like, all the way down. His costume is, like legit.
Legit.
Yeah, he's really scary looking. And he's another one that debuted. I believe it was considered the Silver Age. Don't kill me if I've got the age wrong. But I do know that it was 1968, the first time he debuted. And he's another one. He hasn't really gotten used that much. More so lately in, like, the animated series. Mm-hmm. You've seen him pop up quite a bit. But in the comics, not that big. So I was excited to see him get pulled into the TV show.
Yeah, I was excited too. And the fight sequence that happened between Ray, Barry, and
him on
the train, considering some of the effects that we've seen this season, I now understand where the whole budget went.
I was like, come on, budget.
Budget for this has been amazing because that takes a lot of special effects to do. You have someone running really fast, you have two people flying, there's color involved.
Didn't we see Red Tornado on
Supergirl.
Supergirl. Yeah. Supergirl season 1. Okay. I was like,
but it's been brief, and since we're just talking about the Flash, we hadn't seen him in, like,
but
the
Flash universe. I was just trying to remember if he'd been introduced to the DC.
Yeah, he's, like, been in the DC
CW.
Universe. DC TV universe.
The CW's DC universe has seen him once before.
I was like, he was mad familiar.
But with the special effects, I've noticed they've been really good in the Flash. I can't speak for the other shows, but, like, for the Flash this season, they've been really good in terms of what I've seen in watching that.
We got that budget, honey. That
maybe.
Budget,
I don't know.
Everybody took a pay cut. They all did it for, like,
they just cut
budget.
They cut Wally, and they're like, oh, all this money we got now.
CGI.
Okay.
I'm still bitter. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
And I'm about to make you really sad because we have to talk about it.
I don't
we have
talk
to talk
it.
About Stein and Jefferson.
I can't. Okay.
So
that was
the
so
body
sad.
Took the
and what's sad about this is thinking back on
they
it.
They built it up.
They built it up, and there's so many, like, I wrote in here, you know, Stein says, you are my family. There's so many moments that they've been saying goodbye to each other.
Before I had a daughter, I had a son. What are you talking about?
It's okay.
It's fine. I'm gonna hold your hand.
I'm just tired. We're gonna of everything I love together. Being taken away
we'll
from
just,
me.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I knew that we were, I was prepared to lose him. Because I knew that he was leaving, he's going to Broadway, he's leaving the show. I just, in my head, had rainbows, butterflies, and unicorns going on, and he was going to leave on a happy note on his own accord.
I have hope for that. I feel like there's a chance. They do time travel. Something's got
to
happen.
It's not fair for him to die on another Earth.
No,
not,
exactly.
It's not fair.
No.
After he just found his daughter, and he's been trying to do the time travel dad thing, and he's excited to be a grandpa.
I don't think they're going to do it that way. I really feel like I have hope that they're going, that this won't be the last we see him and that they're going to fix this.
And if they do, we start a revolution. We fight. No, I'm just kidding.
Just like
I'm
you started that revolution
we start
for Wally,
the Twitter
too, right?
Trend. Save
I tried.
Stein.
No one would back me. Y'all wanted a bigger budget.
I kind of appreciate that during this crossover, the Firestorm plot line had kind of been very significant. At first I thought, okay, they're going to really focus on this thing about them trying to be separated. But it really, that relationship, you saw how strong it was. Whether you watched the show or not for them or know about them, you saw this relationship and it built up, you know? So when he did get shot in this episode, you felt it because of the relationship he had with you know.
Yeah, well, I like that because the relationship started on The Flash, so I like that
exactly.
It's kind of hitting
ending
this.
Ending on The Flash in a weird way?
Is it ending?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's hitting an intense point.
I hope they can give him a happier ending.
I like that wordage, girl.
Death by Nazi.
Yeah, death by Nazi is not the way that he should
go out like
but,
that.
But
Victor Garber deserves more.
But also for his character being, you know, like a professor, pretty nerdy guy who didn't get out much before becoming part of Firestorm, it's kind of a badass way to go out, too.
It was
you're
so
like
heroic.
Indiana Jones. You're fighting the Nazis.
No, but we were, like, and screaming at that screen as he was looking at that switch.
Like,
we were like,
don't do it.
But he's a hero, man, and
that was him. You know, that wasn't, he wasn't part of Firestorm in that moment. That was just him doing the right thing and being brave and going after it and trying to get shit done.
I think we all saw it coming when they said he said the better probable was for them to like split apart, and it was like, no, don't do that. Don't split apart.
Yeah.
Bad things happen when people are apart. You know?
Yeah.
It's like the age-old scary movie. Let's split apart and, like, you know, find a killer quicker.
You know what? We can talk about an awesome partnership that was going on in this episode, though, that did not end in death yet, and probably never. Iris and Felicity.
Woo! Yes, yeah. We're getting into that.
Yeah.
Yes. They are kicking butt over in Star Labs back on our Earth.
Yeah.
While, you know, Kara is being sentenced under a red sun.
Do you guys remember that TV show, Totally Spies?
Yes.
Watching them reminded me of that TV show. Like, I was enjoying it so much. Crawling through all the gadgets.
Iris
coming
out
up
here
with, like,
fighting. So take that, all you Iris haters who say she doesn't do anything.
Well, and, you know, this is the second time that they've teamed up
together.
Come
with me if you want to live.
I was like, yes.
Wait, okay, I'm sorry. My one problem with her, though.
Okay.
Come with me if you want to live, and then takes her to an elevator. I'm sorry. The elevator says, in case of emergency, use the stairs, guys. Why are we waiting, pressing the button for an elevator right now?
Felicity was wearing heels, though. It might have just been more reasonable for
She should have been had them things off. Her life was in danger.
Also, it's my guess that Kara is probably pretty heavy because she's so strong. Maybe she would also be...
Yeah,
like,
they might not be able to carry her.
Look, we don't drag her. I'm going to push her down some stairs. She gonna heal. She's Supergirl. She'll be all right.
She's got all the red sun in her. You might actually kill her.
She will be okay because we're not going to wait for an elevator when there's Nazis around and robots that are shooting out kryptonite.
No,
like,
it's true. You're right.
Let's use our brains a little bit here, guys.
Well, since we are on the Supergirl track, I want to talk about how she's like, my cousin will find you, and Thawne straight up was like, yeah, I fought him.
He was like, yeah, he was like fast.
That's not how that faster. Went down in the comics.
I was faster. I was like, ooh, drag him. We out here dragging Superman?
Well, I was just like, oh, is he going to be in part four? Like, are we getting Superman back? That'd be fun. So crickets over there.
I don't know. I would love to have Superman.
I said this to try and get a reaction, and then it was just quiet, so I don't know what to think anymore.
I mean, it was great having Reverse Flash there, period. I mean, just always, you know, when we always get to see an evil Harrison. They had a throwback to him coming with the electrical wheelchair around, and he stands up, and he's like, I hated every bit of it. Like,
I was like, why are you being so extra? And we know you can walk now. Why are you back in the... Like, when he rolled up, I was like, what?
That's the theatrics, guys.
Mad dramatic.
Tiana, you're getting dragged. People are like, have you seen stairs in Star Labs?
Have you seen security in Star Labs?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things. True.
Star Labs
pop up sometimes.
Every person that visits Star Labs throws shade on it. They're always like, you have a horrible security system.
I'm sorry. I've never seen no air vents in Star Labs either. I saw that today.
They were big.
Yeah. You could walk through them.
I thought they were going to be crawling. Like, Iris is pretty much just crouching down. She's like, okay, I'll go. And then they just walk. I'm like, wow, those are huge things.
Like, they must have some big
They're
racks
like
there.
Shredding. Right?
No security, huge bits. Who built this thing?
They definitely should have thought out the Supergirl savior plan a little bit better, considering that you're right. I've never seen stairs at Star Labs. And Felicity just walked in at the beginning of the episode and was like, how'd you get in? I walked. In? You don't have any security.
Yeah, I feel like it's become a long joke. Like, it's just become a running joke about Star Labs.
But, I mean, it's interesting stuff that's going on here in Star Labs, you know, with them trying to, you know, take out her heart and...
Yeah.
that whole dynamic,
which is
there.
So creepy. That was the creepiest character Tom Cavanaugh has played. I think this is the creepiest he's made Thawne ever.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, sweetheart, you're going to have to be awake for this. I was like, oh, no.
Yes, here we come. And then he tries to, you know, super hand. It's all shaking. It looks like a wobbly fish, like, fishy. Felicity, because, you know, they finally shut down the power and, you know, badass Felicity Smoke puts in her whole encryption to the whole system. No one can run the place without it. Yay.
But why would you threaten to kill the only person that can actually do it?
See, I'm glad you said that, like, because when the fans on the chat get mad about it, they'll get mad at you and not me now, because I was thinking the same thing. You kill her, then you're still not going to get power.
You're not getting anything. And then Supergirl has to be Supergirl. She's always, like, number one Girl Scout of the universe.
Yeah.
No one dies at my cause. Girl, he ain't actually going to kill her.
Also, why is your hair still really nice after all this struggle you've been
going through? Supergirl. She's super fabulous.
Well, that was with everyone. Everyone's makeup was perfect throughout. The people still had eyeshadow on. That's, you know.
I walked up the street and I was busted. I was like, what setting spray are y'all using?
I mean, Iris and Felicity are going through
urban decay,
and their clothes are completely clean. Yes. I mean, it's just
the vents were clean, and they were walking through them.
I don't know who comes in there.
They all have that iPhone portrait mode filter on at all times.
You know what? They might have no security, and they have rats the size of houses, but their janitorial staff is on point.
Snap
to the janitorial squad over at a Star Labs.
But that was the thing that was interesting with him trying to get the heart, I guess, and I was, because all throughout this crossover, I've been trying to understand the plot line of why, because, you know, this whole idea of evil Oliver wanting to save his wife, right? And who was Supergirl. Mm-hmm. But they also wanted to send a doomsday device, which was also what happened on Earth. That's before we jumped over. Mm-hmm. Like, they were trying to send that doomsday device, which we don't know who the hell was on that thing that got sent over. Mm-hmm. So it's like, was the first part of the plan to save Kyra, evil Kyra first?
Kyra.
Kara, I'm from Jersey, sorry. It's hard to pronounce those A's. Audience, dog. You know, so, but yeah. So was that the first part of the plan, and then this idea of then we're going to send the doomsday thing?
My thought in it, because it doesn't seem like people are happy that he chooses her over the plan.
Yeah.
So it kind of seems like maybe he's getting distracted from the actual plan, and this was like a side plan for them.
Which, that's the creepiest pairing.
Yeah. I mean, like, Supergirl and Arrow, even in evil form.
Are weird. It's a weird pairing. Strange. They're so...
But what I like they about it is that... What I like about it is that chemistry. It's a pairing that we haven't seen. So it's meant to be like, oh, wait, I'm not used to seeing that, so do I not like it because I'm not used to it, or...
Quick question. Does anyone remember what DeVoe said at the end of the last episode about love, like... Because she
without love, knowledge.
Something about love. Because I feel
like
knowledge.
I remember him like saying something weird about love, and I was wondering, since he knew everything, if he like knew that like love was like the whole like driven force in this.
Because that was also the case here too. There's clearly it's an evil love story, but there's clearly a love
story. Love without knowledge means nothing.
Yeah, there's clearly an evil love story going on at the heart of this. It was interesting to me, the idea that the first wave of this plan was trying to save evil Kara, and like the idea of
Overgirl, right? Wasn't that her name?
Is it Overgirl?
That's what they kept saying on the I watch things with subtitles, and that's what I kept saying on the subtitles when I was watching Arrow. And I was like, oh, girl, that's ugly.
Yeah. But look, she did right, because she clearly got her a man that loves her more than she loves him, because she was...
Yeah.
She straight up told, you know, Eobard, look, I'll make sure that if it comes between me and the plan, he goes with the right thing.
Well, I've got no sympathy for her, because that whole little spiel she had about, oh, we're blonde and Aryan and beautiful,
we
girl.
We blonde and we white.
That's over. It's canceled.
I was like, canceled.
You're canceled.
Done.
Earth-X, you're canceled.
We don't want you here.
We don't need you.
Hello, this is an announcement from the universe. Earth-X, you are canceled.
You are done.
And
why can't we send Darth Vader there? He's got a nice little weapon he likes to use on planets.
Well, he'd probably be down with their
whole
thing. No, we don't tell him what's going on there.
We just send them over.
We just send them each other. They've got Jedi's. Shoot.
Let's go blow this up right quick.
All right. Well, is there anything else from any of the shows that you guys want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, why? We forgot to talk about this earlier, but why was it so difficult for Felicity and Oliver to figure out if they were coming to the wedding?
Y'all in the RSVP.
Y'all in the wedding.
Let's talk about that.
Fake friends.
So, remember how Iris was all like, oh my gosh, some people haven't RSVP'd yet. She actually meant that none of their closest friends had.
A wedding party including did not RSVP.
Two people who were in the wedding party.
The wedding party.
And then Felicity cut to her and Oliver, you know, he's doing this whole fighting thing. And she's like, hey, Oliver, they want to know if we're going to come, if we're still coming to the wedding. You better be in it.
You bought the dress. You threw the party.
I might get roasted for this, but I felt like leading up to the end of this episode, like, Felicity was, you know, they had their moments, and I felt like they were kind of taken away from the West Island moments at times, because, okay, they didn't RSVP, and then at the rehearsal dinner, like, they were that couple at the rehearsal dinner who had to get into an argument.
But also,
and I'm like, you know what, y'all?
He proposed at the... I was like, that is the worst thing you do at a wedding.
Yeah. You don't propose at somebody else's wedding.
I'm sorry. Why are you at West Allen's rehearsal dinner proposing? No. And then she's going to be like, I don't want to marry you. I'm like, wait a minute. You causing a scene at this rehearsal dinner?
Drag him.
Yeah. Wait, you forgot about the most important part about this.
That's how you get blacklisted as a friend.
Yes.
You do not propose at a wedding.
The important part that he missed in this proposal was a ring.
Right?
You ain't asking me nothing if you ain't got the ring.
You rich as hell, too.
He's a billionaire.
Where's that ring?
I'm sure she knows the ring is somewhere.
Thank you. I know it's coming because he's got money, but that just makes it seem so much more like, you know what? Yeah, Barry's little pep talk got to me. I'm going to propose. Like, I need a plan. I need you to know what you want and, like, think about it and plan it out and have the right
things. Remember the rest of the previews. I'll let you watch the rest of it, but they're, you know,
I mean,
friends forever, do everything together.
I'd rather they didn't, because like, this was West Island, and the only issue that I had, another issue I had with some of the crossover, that Barry and Iris ended up having to play Love Doctor for them most
during
of
their
this.
Wedding week.
You know, and it was like, yeah, you know, I know your wedding was it, but there's, I'm just going through this stuff with Oliver. Girl, time.
Sorry. Meanwhile, Kara shows up. She just found out that her boyfriend, right? Who she thought was dead, is not only alive, but has been in the future
married?
For 7 years and is married.
I can't with
and
that.
And she's here not
terrible.
Needing any, the bride and groom to comfort her
I
was like, in that
she's out here acting right. Alex split up her engagement and said
she's wild.
She did what the rest of us do and get drunk and have sex with a stranger at a wedding.
I don't know.
Apparently, everybody does it. No, I'm just kidding.
Everybody
does it.
That's what everyone does.
Those are the right ways you handle the situation.
On a side note, I want to clarify something because the chat is mad because we were like, you know, we know he's got money. The ring is coming. And people are like, he's not rich anymore. When a billionaire loses his fortune, he's still a millionaire, y'all. Stephen Amell has said this himself about Green Arrow. The quote for quote, Comic-Con, go watch it, Nerd Reactor. He was like, when a billionaire goes broke, he's still a millionaire. He's still bankrolling everybody.
Yeah, well, Trump went bankrupt four times.
No, let's just let him not talk. Let's not.
We already talked about that.
That was one of the previous, because they was like, make America Nazis again. That was something
one
of the characters said in the crossover.
No.
There was so much going on there.
We were at the perfect place, guys.
But does this show actually have a political statement to say?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of political statements across the DC.
Mad politics.
They drag the politics in this country constantly.
I would just say, I just wish that, like, with this particular, the Flash portion of the episode, that maybe we had gotten a little bit more plot conflict for the characters of Flash in it.
But I think it's fair to say that no one in their specific hours characters got plot specific things to
Supergirl
their
Supergirl didn't really, except Arrow.
They always do.
They're the ringleaders.
I was gonna say Arrow is the OG for the OG. CW.
Yeah, but the Flash is the highest rated show. So
that's true.
I mean,
and on that note, I think we should go over to predictions.
I just got a lot of feelings, y'all.
Yeah, but we ain't got no more time for your feelings. AfterBuzz TV predictions. Okay, so we're going to keep our predictions straight on what we think is going to come back for The Flash next week.
All right.
We're not talking crossover predictions because by the time you watch this, you probably have already
You'll just know.
So back to our show, The Flash, predictions.
I'll tell you what I predict we're not going to see next episode, Wally. I'll tell you what we might see next episode. I feel like we're going to see that potential daughter, waitress girl pop up again. I feel like if not the next episode, within... At least before the, what, winter finale or whatever?
Well, next week is the winter finale.
Oh, well, then maybe the winter finale. That's how I feel.
I think that moving forward, and this includes the winter finale and when we come back in 2018, we will see Wally because he's going to help them engineer the cap that helps them actually combat the Thinker. Mm-hmm. And I think that we should possibly see Dawn's character more. She had too many lines to just be a fluke.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. And after Cisco's dope use of power, I want to see more Vibe's power. That's what I'm predicting.
Yeah, well, I think we're definitely going to hopefully see, since it's the winter finale, maybe it'll reveal a bit more about what DeVoe's actual plan is. Mm-hmm. That's my hope. And I think they'd have to. And maybe it might be some sort of cliffhanger for us. I don't think we're going to see Dawn again just yet, though. I think that was a nugget that we saw for the crossover. We may not see her until the new year. Mm. That's kind of my guess for
that. I agree with that. Yeah. Totally.
I see that because I don't think Barry's going to remember that moment right after all of this stuff is happening, because I almost was just like, well, what is she even doing here? Why are they serving cocktails right now? I mean, I love a good wedding that serves cocktails at the church.
They wanted to see that before.
Sacrilegious.
They knew what they were prepping for. Actually, I think it was sparkling water.
Sparkling water. Okay.
Classic.
That blood.
Yeah, but I was also thinking, what church has waiters? I need to go there. It's usually an usher, not a waiter. I like some of Jesus' blood. Anyways, my prediction is I think that we will see Wally next week. I have faith that Wally is going to be an integral part of stopping DeVoe, and they all need to realize that they can't do it without him, because the last week when they faced off with him a little bit, they weren't running at full course with their whole team because Wally was missing, and maybe that'll make them realize, yo, we need more Wally in our lives.
But we still got Ralph, so I don't know.
I mean he can just go be Ralph.
I feel like Ralph is growing on
no
me.
I He's like Ralph
a good,
but I
sarcastic
just,
little dynamic to
yeah,
the
yeah
team.
I like him. I just need more Wally.
I agree.
Like,
yeah.
I don't think he's the key factor in
I
this.
Like him, but if we had to save only one of them off a cliff, you know who I'm saving.
If this was that movie The Good Son and I'm holding both of them over a ledge, I know which one I'm going to let go of.
Oh,
sorry, Ralph.
He's probably going to stretch all the way to the bottom.
Great reference, by the way.
Thank you. I'm glad someone got it.
Elijah Macaulay. Oh, my
God. Yeah, that's a classic, right? All right. Well, thank you. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to our after show. Be sure you check out the Legends of Tomorrow after show.
I'll be
for
on there.
Yes, Chauncey will be there for the epic conclusion part of this 4-part crossover episode. I just want to say, hats off to the writers and creators and actors, because they've been posting about it for weeks, about them shooting this and what's going into it. And now it's actually just as intense as it looked in those pictures. Yeah. And everyone's doing a phenomenal job. So just hats off. This is a great crossover. And I wish that more shows could be this epic when they cross over with other shows.
I think this is the best crossover they've ever done. Last year was a little weak when the Supergirl crossover was literally just Flash popping in and being like, we need you.
Yeah. Like, I like that they got to incorporate those characters into the fold this time.
They had the whole, like, the aliens thing.
Yeah, the Dominators.
Last year, right?
Yeah, the Dominators. Which they referenced this time, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Barry had a little moment with Kara about it.
They were so last year, though.
True.
Thank you guys for tuning in, and make sure you keep up with us. We'll be back here next Tuesday at 10 o'clock to talk more about The Flash. And in the meantime, please tweet, like, share, heart, all that fun stuff you can do all over social media, and let them know where they can find you guys.
I'm Drew Jones. You can follow me on all of the things at OKDrewJ.
I'm Carolina Benetti. You can find me on Instagram at LenaBean113 and Twitter at Carolina Benetti.
And this is Chauncey K. Robinson, and you can find me on Twitter at Miss Chauncey KR.
I'm Tiana Hobson. You can follow me at the Tiana Hobson, and you can also follow AfterBuzz TV across all social media platforms at AfterBuzz TV. Please, guys, make sure you give us some support. You know, AfterBuzz has a lot of free content for you, so make sure you go and check out all the shows that we have to offer. And until next week, we'll see you guys on the Flash Slide.
Ooh. From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.